Principles involved in operating in moment. As follows are two questions I ask God through my spiritual sister, Chris, in the willingness to stay in the moment and get his guidance in helping me to master this. Of all the hundreds of books I've read, his answer given here has been the most clearly and insightful direct guidance I've ever received. I hope through sharing this, you will come to experience your connection to God and come to trust he too is always with you. My question, which was back on August 13, 2002, was, God, I know staying in the moment is where I can completely live your will for me, but I find at times I lose it and just go into worry and questioning that you are always with me and thus always there to help me move through a situation where I need your guidance. Can you please help me here so that I can stay exactly where you want me to be? His answer was, hello, Christopher. I can explain a few of the principles involved in operating in the moment, if you like. You are correct that operating in the moment is a natural state of affairs. Indeed, you cannot operate in opposition to the natural or God-given state of affairs. Since deviating from the will of God or operating outside my laws is impossible, you must already know how to do it. Therefore, all you are asking is how to become conscious of it. To become aware of something is much easier than learning to master it. You ask how to allow this skill to unfold to its fullest. Well, you must remember that this skill is always unfolding to its fullest. That is the nature of itself. I am always being to the fullest in any given moment. If I am being the fullest in the present, what is left of the past and the future? Nothing. And that is what the time spent there amounts to. Nothing. You all are allowing yourselves to be distracted by nothing, a total and complete waste of time. And since I'm always being the fullest in any given moment, it stands to reason that for you to do the same, you would have to join me there at being the fullest in the moment. This means you have to release your attraction to the past and the future. To the extent that you're able to do this and maintain it consistently, to this extent, you will find yourself experiencing life to the fullest also. So a joining is required. Being in the present moment is not something that you can do on your own. Secondly, for a while at least, it will require effort to stay in that place. You are so used to jumping forward into the future and backwards into the past at will. You are used to operating with the uncertainty of jumping in and out in tails. Living in the present moment will appear to engender uncertainty, but also do not be fooled. Living there is different, but not uncertain. It is the unfamiliarity that you will need to get used to, and it is this that will appear as uncertain to you. Or uncertainty. Faith or trust will get you through it. During that time when you are depending heavily on faith and trust, it will seem like a lot of effort involved. However, what is really required is a lack of effort and allowing so that what is happening might happen unimpeded. Now, living in the moment consciously requires the knowledge, or at the very least, the willingness to believe that all is well, that I know what I'm doing, that I am love, and that I am peace, and that I am joy, and that is all there is. In other words, it requires a belief that there is a God and that He is a God of love. It must be a given, or you will find yourself fighting a persistent need to try and control things. Control necessitates a future and a past. And then you're right back where you started. Without me, without a God of love, the whole thing falls apart. That is why life as you know it, life lived from an ego perspective, never works. So, assuming you start by joining with me, assuming you are willing to persist, and assuming I am a God of love, what is the next step? The next step involves abandoning an objective viewpoint. It means that you have to let go of the one who judges what is happening. Who is that one? Supposedly, it is the objective voice, the dispassionate observer, the one who is uninvolved and can therefore make an objective, quote, judgment about what is happening. I will stop now and ask you to think about this. Where is the objective voice coming from? Operating in the moment requires subjectivity. Now, as a side note, I want to read, subjectivity is feeling, emotion, affective sentiment, passion, means a subjective response to a person, place, or situation. Operating a moment requires subjectivity, feeling where you are right now. Operating in the moment requires feeling right now where you are, just being subjective, right here, right now, in this moment. You must be solidly in the moment to experience it that way. To borrow an analogy, while you are riding the wave, you cannot get off it, even for a moment, to see how you're doing. And this, folks, as a sidebar, is a surfing analogy that I was given on my way from LA to Sedona that came to mind, and it just was a great thing. I had to stay on the surfboard. So as he says again, to borrow an analogy, really his analogy, he's borrowing from me, which is us, so it really doesn't matter. To borrow an analogy, while you are riding the wave, you cannot get off, even for a moment, to see how you're doing. If you do, you will lose it. You will break the flow, and as a result, the ride is ended. It is not that the wave has lost any of its original creation, but you, as the rider, no longer experience it to the degree you did before breaking the connection. Why would you want to break the connection if you're on the crest of a good wave? Again, sidebar. If you're on the crest of a good moment, when everything is right here, right now, happening in its perfection, and you're trusting that, why would we want to break a good connection? One reason, one of the most common, is to check your progress. Am I getting better at this? Am I doing it correctly? Am I meeting the goals I set for myself? Am I waking up? Am I where I need to be? Am I good as him or her or them or them or they? But progress is an ego ploy. It is not about learning how to do it or how to get better at it. Waking up is all about learning to stay connected all the time. Huge point. Waking up is about learning how to stay connected all the time. Therefore, breaking a connection cannot be considered an integral part of trying to stay connected. If you are riding the wave, you know it. You feel it. You are it. There is no room for objectivity. The second common reason for leaving the present or leaving the crest of the wave is the thought that you might want to repeat this great experience some other time, in the future perhaps. But in order to memorize and analyze the experience so that it might be recorded and repeated later misses the point. It demonstrates a lack of faith and a misunderstanding of the reasoning involved in staying in the moment. What this amounts to is justification for imitation. It is like dissecting a frog to understand how it lives instead of watching and appreciating it living. There is no logic in destroying a connection to better understand a connection. If you feel you must capture the moment in order to preserve it, then you do not understand the meaning of I make all things new. If you need to ride a wave again, the connection will be there. You don't have to make one of your own imitation. Now, I am not saying that you specifically have a problem in this area, Christopher. Comparatively speaking, you are quite good at attempting to consciously stay in the moment. But your practice is not yet flawless, and you do indulge, generally unconsciously, in the ego antics I just described. It is your willingness to trust and your willingness to have faith in the idea of a God of love that will accelerate your remembrance of this natural way of being in the world. Hang on to these and value them. They are your salvation. There is one more habit you indulge in that nurtures the objectivity or the ego antics I have been talking about. By no means is this a habit particular to you only. It is, again, an exceedingly common way of judging things that most of you cherish. I do not mean that you consciously cherish it, but cherish is the right word nevertheless, because you all employ it so often that you depend mightily on it. In fact, I could say you love it. It is your favorite measuring stick for judgment. What is it? It is expectation. Expectation, in order to be kept alive, must be believed in. If you believe that all is well and all is of God, there is no validation for having expectations of your own. I am speaking of fear-based expectations, of course, for if you expect and assume that all is well, that all is as it should be, where is the need for any other expectations or assumptions? In other words, you can easily expect and know with me that always something wonderful is happening. This is recognition and honoring the fact that there is a God of love and that I know what's happening needs to happen in order for the full breath of your salvation to come into your reality. For you to awaken to the truth of who you are. I will give you a specific example using the idea of the Jedi training complex so that you might personalize a new way of being with this project. First of all, you do not own it. We do. My idea is flowing through you. The same thing holds true for anyone who has any projects, any ideas, inventions, or otherwise that is improving your living experience on this planet. My idea is flowing through you. You are not to grab onto it and manipulate it, but rather your job is to gently facilitate its expression and manifestation as it unfolds. You do not have to unfold it. It will unfold naturally because that's the nature of any idea. Taking too much responsibility for its weight weighs you down and upsets the joy of the natural unfoldment. You cannot fail or foil its natural progression. You will never be guilty of that in thinking that perhaps you can speed it up in any way or slow it down is a guilt-producing belief. And what will guilt do to you? At best, it will exhaust you. At worst, it will make you sick. If you feel responsible, even a little, for the unfoldment of this idea, you are putting excessive and unjustified strain upon yourself. When the timing strays from what you think is desirable, and it will, guilt or blame, a projection of guilt, must rear its ugly head. It is the nature of your ego thought system, your ego mindset. This is ego antics. Guilt is the inevitable result of unmet expectations or invalid assumptions. You correctly feel the movement of spirit, Christopher, and everyone else reading this who is living in this moment. Continue to ride the wave of the moment. Do not get off even for a moment. There will be many, many moments when no wave is crashing or swelling. This is not a time to then assume that you are no longer connected. Connectedness cannot be checked with any external feedback. I told you once that you know when you are in the moment because things will progress smoothly and without much effort on your part. This is still true. But when the waves are calm, when there does not appear to be much forward progression with the idea, this is not a time to worry or second guessing. This is where your faith and trust comes into play. You must remember that your life is not about how successfully you complete this project or that one. If that were the case, external checks would be a measure of man. Agreed? You will be unable to judge whether or not you're on a wave or in the moment based on the completion or the manifestation of any project. You're going to have to look inward for that, Christopher, and everyone else learning and listening to this. You're going to have to look inward for this. So, things may go smoothly and effortlessly for a while on your jaunt down the road to the place you think you are heading, and then it may or may not feel as if progress is moving forward, or it may feel it's completely stopped. Is there something you are doing or blocking this when it happens? Not necessarily. Are you peaceful anyway? This should be your only measuring stick. When you are happy and at peace, you are not blocking your fulfillment. Let me say this again. When you're happy and at peace, you are not blocking your fulfillment. I will use the example given in the teachings of Abraham Hicks. When you're in the vortex, you're at peace and you're not blocking the fulfillment. You just are. This is being in this place many call I am that I am. Because you're in the connection. You're in the trust and the faith of a God of love, of the presence of me within you. So you must remember that although you are in a possession of a grand idea of mine, Christopher, you do not own it and therefore are not responsible for making it happen. Your job is to stay in the moment so that you know what to do, when, and even when to enjoy doing nothing. Your job is to enjoy it all, to enjoy everything that unfolds in the moment, and do not tarnish the moment with expectations about how it should unfold or assumptions about how it would unfold if you or others were doing it right or somehow better. You see, Christopher, and everyone listening to this, stay in the moment requires doing less, not more. It requires peace, not unconscious frenetic movement, frantic movement. I got to do something. It requires an allowing attitude, not a manipulative attitude. It does not require doing something on your own. Or, I'll borrow another analogy, trying to push the river so it will go faster. It does require paying attention, though, to be present in the moment. You can't be in the past or future. You can't be busy planning your next move so as to not be caught unaware. This is not to say you can never plan, but planning must not be fear-based, simply love-based. A plan in love is a plan in clarity. Benchmarks that may or may not change as you move into the future. So there's no attachment to the plan. It must be a natural outgrowth of the flow of God's ideas. Remember, my ideas as they're expressing themselves through you. This is what we mean when I say paying attention. Being present is being in a listening mode, being in a peaceful mode, being in enjoying this moment mode. So, for Christopher, and perhaps those listening to this, this answer is mostly a confirmation for you all. You do not consciously do any of the things I used in an example that appear to impede the flow of my ideas. You cannot truly even or ever thwart my will. And that is why all is well. And why you need not feel responsible or hold on to expectations of your own. Just be present. Live in the now. Be attentive to the awareness of the expression of love presenting itself to you in the myriad of forms right now in this present moment. And then be consciousness, be aware that when you do take responsibility and expect certain outcomes, then you have lost your connection. And you'll feel it. you won't be at ease. You'll feel off. You have stopped living in the present moment and gone somewhere else, somewhere you think is separate from me. But be aware and take this to heart. A mind in connection cannot be separate from what it thinks. And that is the answer to the question I asked you earlier. Where is the objective voice coming from? An objective voice is coming from somewhere other than the present moment. For in connection, there is only, and I emphasize only, subjectivity. It is feeling, awareness, being centered right where you are in this moment. So remember that objectivity as a means of checking your connectedness already implies a disconnect. Because objectivity by its very nature questions, guilt you, takes you to another place other than your awareness that I'm always here, always expressing myself through you as we ride down the river of life, as we surf the waves of my creation, as you enjoy your life and the expression of love happening all around you. So stay subjective, stay connected. In general, you are moving in the moment very well. Those who are just beginning this practice, make it your project, make it your goal, make it your intention to stay present and to stay subjective and to stay connected. The practice of meditation as a for instance, or the practice of prayer as another example, is to bring you into connection. It's not meant to disconnect after you finish your prayer or your meditation. It's to get you grounded deeply in the moment, in the connection, in letting your thoughts of the past and the future go. So look at your meditation and look at your prayer as the starting point of your day of getting connected and staying connected. Staying in that awareness that we're always connected. You can stay there more often, and of course, it is a goal worth pursuing. Perhaps I should say, a goal worth allowing. But do not become impatient. Each of you are already world-class surfers. Because it is a natural gift that you've been given. And it is a gift that you can only ignore and but never remove. It is always with you. It is a talent or expression, a connection that will be here forever and forever and forever because it's never been otherwise. So in understanding the living in the moment, the being connected is being just as I created you. So to Christopher's question about living in the moment, is living in the place of your awakened beingness. In growing in the practice and the understanding that it's the only place you can be. And as you stay there, you will naturally awaken to all that is, because you won't be wasting time in what's referred to as ego antics, believing that something else is going on, believing or pretending that something else could be going on. Thank you for the question. Thank you for listening. I love you all.